We are finishing our 20th book of the Bible. That is so amazing. Gary and I have been in this church for 15 years, and we've been able to do, in the women's ministry, we've been able to do 20 books of the New Testament. And so I'm just so proud of you for being here and finishing well. I know that life gets crazy, and sometimes you commit to something, and then you realize I just am overwhelmed. So it's good to see this room full, and pray that God blesses you. Before we're going to look at the Proverbs 31 woman this morning, which is something I've never taught before. 45 years of ministry and never taught this woman, so kind of excited to teach about her. But I also just wanted to encourage you, you younger girls that are home with children this summer, probably my very favorite book of all time as a pastor's wife or as a woman is called Becoming a Woman of Excellence. This was written by my friend Cynthia Heald, and this book, when I was a young mom, just set my feet on a solid rock of wanting to learn God's word and wanting to be close to him and become more like him. So I want to recommend this book. It's probably out of print, and so you can probably get it on eBay for $4. It'd be a fun book because you answer a couple questions as you do it. It would be a fun book to do with a couple of your girlfriends this summer when you go to the park with your kids. You could just do the chapter and then sit and discuss your answers. So I just wanted to encourage you about that. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this morning. Lord, I thank you for every single beautiful woman in this room. Her heart, Lord, she's here. Even with all of her kids, Lord, she got them all ready. She got them all fed. She got them all changed or whatever. She was able to get here. And so, Lord, I do pray that you would bless the girls in this room for their faithfulness this year. And that we would finish well, Lord, as we look at the most beautiful woman, honestly, Proverbs 31. We give this time to you, Jesus, I pray. Holy Spirit, I invite you here. Be our welcome guest. If there's something you want me to say that I've not written down, remind me. And bless your girls this morning, Lord. Pump them up, Lord, and feed them from your word, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Throughout this year, we have seen how the book of Proverbs has a consistent interest in women. We've read about the adulterous woman who uses her influence for evil, the quarrelsome woman who nags and argues like a constant dripping, and the foolish woman who tears down her house with her own hands. Now we finish our study. As we finish our study, we turn to the contrast, the excellent woman. For the past 25 years, every January, I have ended my Bible reading with this gal. I wrote this little book 25 years ago, and that's how I do my devotions in the morning. Whatever it tells me to read that morning is what I read. So every December at the end of the year, I'm spending time with Proverbs 31. At first, she was very intimidating and actually annoying, if you want to know the truth. I was like, you got to be kidding me. You know, life's hard enough, and then I got to see this woman, right? But over time, she has become like a close friend. She's been like a coach to me, constantly challenging me to grow in a world filled with noise, temptation, and distraction. And so I want to encourage you young girls, don't get discouraged if you read these passages. Just keep looking at her year after year after year, you know, because what we focus on, we become. And so if you keep her in front of you and reading your Bible devotions and all, you will become like her by default. You just will. The Holy Spirit will do the work. So don't be discouraged. The ability to remain focused and disciplined is the thing that sets this wise woman apart. She is intentional and determined to make choices that line up with her goals, not her emotions. She lives with a steady rhythm that pleases God and teaches more often by example than by words. She is mindful about what she allows to capture her attention and knows that that will shape her future. She's very mindful about what captures her attention because she knows that will shape her future. So she disciplines herself for the purpose of godliness, knowing that discipline is the foundation that success is built on. Her goal is success as a godly woman. This is a very important document in Jewish history. There are 22 characters in the Hebrew alphabet, and there are 22 verses in this description of an excellent woman. Each verse begins with the next chapter in sequence of the Hebrew alphabet. It became an acrostic, which made it easy to memorize and recall, and Jewish moms would have their sons memorize this. They memorized all kinds of parts of the Bible. It was the criteria that Jewish women taught their sons as they were growing up to what to look for in a godly woman. And so this morning, we're going to look at four things. I've broken it up into four different sections. Number one is her value. Her value as a woman, verses 10 through 12. Number two is her work, verses 13 through 19. Number three is her character, verses 20 through 27. And number four is her praise, 28 through 31. So we're going to read through the whole thing because it's so stinking important and valuable. So let's start with verse 10. An excellent wife, who can find? For her worth is far above jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil, all the days of her life. What we see in these verses is that this kind of girl does exist, but she might be very hard to find. Her worth is far above jewels or rubies, some Bibles say. The number one thing we see here is that this husband can trust his wife. She is on his team, and her choices reflect that. He is able to have absolute confidence in her integrity to the point where she goes off by herself and buys land without him. That's amazing. He must really trust her. He has absolute confidence in her integrity, her wisdom, and her discretion in the use of his assets and the care of his interests. She would never cause him suffering or pain by being foolish with money. She knows that budgeting and self-control will add to their wealth and the success of the family as a whole. Her love is devoted to the success of her husband and his reputation, teaching others to hold her husband in high regard. She recognizes that diminished respect for him was diminished respect for her, because they are one now. David Guzik says this: what this woman has did not fall on her. It's her hard-won reward. She won at this through wisdom, self-denial, and the fear of the Lord. Who she is a hard-fought victory. And these past 45 years, as I've ended my year each year in December with my Proverbs 31 friend, that's what I felt like it was, that I wanted so much to be like her, that it was almost like a workout for me, something that I was trying to win at. As we look at her, we will have to be careful not to misunderstand what made her remarkable. She wasn't defined merely by her good works, but by her character. There's a profound difference. because motivation matters. She wasn't a Pharisee performing for appearance. She was a servant who wanted to please God first of all, before her husband or children or the neighborhood. She wanted to please God. The life she lived flowed from her humility and love for God, not from a checklist. And it was obvious to everyone by the way her husband trusted in her. He knew her the best. He lived with her every day, and he revered her and honored her and trusted her. If it was just a checklist, that wouldn't have been there. You have a lifetime to support your husband, so be intentional. Be his greatest encourager. When you show him appreciation and honor, you help cultivate the man God created him to be and give him the room to grow into it. It takes a long time to build an incredible man of God. He's in process, just like you and I are making that imperfect progress as we're transformed into the image of Christ. The most beautiful women in the world are the ones who love and serve others like Jesus. I remember when Gary and I were young, and you guys know I was ornery and a mess before I met Jesus, and Gloria Steinem was my idol. I was very competitive. And I remember thinking when I first got saved and started reading the Bible, if I wait on this guy and serve this guy, he's going to walk all over me. He's going to take advantage of me. And maybe there might be a man who does that, so be careful. But you know what? I decided to do it anyway. Even though I really didn't know Gary when I married him, I decided to live for an audience of one and serve and love the man God gave me. And by golly, girls, it has worked out so good. There is not a thing that man would not do for me after 47 years of marriage. A spirit-filled man is strong, responsible, and a humble servant leader. A flesh-filled man is passive and irresponsible, which leads to domination and abuse. So you want a spirit-filled man. You want him strong. Help him become strong, even if he's weak. And they all are when we marry them. They don't know how to be a leader. They don't know how to be a dad. No more than we know how to be a mom or a good wife. A spiritful woman is nurturing, wise, dignified, and uses her influence for good. A flesh-filled woman is selfish, manipulating, controlling, and destructive. And at any point in your marriage, I know it's true of me, I should say, in any point in my marriage, I can decide, am I going to walk in the flesh today or am I going to walk in the spirit? And we all will reap what we sow as we are filled, if we're filled with the Holy Spirit. So number one, an excellent woman has great worth and value and influence. Number two, her work. 13 through 19. She looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. She is like merchant ships. She brings food from afar. She rises also while it is still night and gives food to her household and portions to her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. From her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She senses that her gain is good. Her lamp does not go out at night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hands grasp the spindle. This is a hard-working woman. When I think of the Proverbs 31 woman, I think of my grandma Lowry. They had a huge farm in West Virginia with horses and cows and pigs and chickens. They bartered with flour and sugar and apples. And I mean, she was just an incredible woman. They had servants who worked the farm. And when I would go there to stay as a child, she would feed the servants before she fed the family. She was incredibly hardworking. In God's design, a woman is deeply devoted to creating a home, a place of refuge from the storm where love and respect fill the rooms. She leads her home with wisdom and strength, finds joy and purpose, and she finds joy and purpose in what she does. Not merely in working, because work's hard, right? But in the people she does it for. She wants her family, the most loved family of any family. She wants her husband to be the most loved and supported of all the husbands. Her love for her family gives meaning to every single thing her hands accomplish. In ancient times, the household lamp was never allowed to go out, and it was the wife's responsibility to keep it burning. She would put oil in at midnight and be up before dawn to make sure it was still burning. In a large household, especially that of a king, which is what we're kind of talking about, this was a king's household, her work began early. She roused the servants and set the day in motion and oversaw every detail. Caring for her home and providing for her family were not burdens to her, but her highest calling. She seeks out all that is needed, and no task is beneath her when it comes to providing for her family, because she wants them loved well. With willing hands, she prepares their daily bread. And I bet it was sourdough. Isn't that amazing how these young moms now are all, I mean, that's a lot of work, sourdough bread. Jessica Hawkins, I was there with her, watched all that. I was like, wow, you're something. Way better woman than I am. Anyway, she rose before dawn to begin her work. What sets her apart is not just what she does, but how she does it. She works with a willing heart. She's not complaining. All her labor is cheerful service. All her labor is cheerful service. And I remember thinking, this is not fair. I work harder than anybody. And I'm a stinker. I told you that a long time ago. It's a pretty thankless job. And I don't even get paid. At least if Gary, you know, when we were young, he busted concrete for a while. That's hard work. But at least he got a paycheck at the end of the day, you know? Until the Lord showed me that I had a very high calling and I work for him. So whatever my hand finds to do, I do it for him. Colossians 3, 23 to 24 says, whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men. And at the end of the day, when you're 69 years old, you're going to feel like this Proverbs 31 gal is your best friend too, because you've worked that hard for your family as well. And you know, I remember I moved out when I was 16, so I didn't learn a lot as a teenager from my parents. And I remember at one point in my life as a young pastor's wife, I grabbed my friends and I said, I want to learn BCF. BCF is an intense discipleship program, very intense. And I wanted to go be trained by it in Indianapolis. So I grabbed some of my girlfriends and my beat up old van, and we drove from New Jersey to Indianapolis to be trained. My mom worked doubles. She was never around. I don't remember her being around a lot. She was a wonderful mom. She loved the Lord. I just don't remember her being around a lot. When I got to Indianapolis, this was the early 90s. This beautiful lady who went to the Presbyterian church where we were being trained, she invited us and hosted me and my friends. There were like five of us. She hosted us and put us in her basement for an entire week. It was 8 hours a day we were trained in BCF. And every morning, we would wake up and we were in the basement. We would come upstairs and on her counter would be this spread. Bagels, fruit, juice, coffee, tea. And you could, I'd never been treated like that before. And she was just so loving. She loved to do it. It came from inside of her. And honestly, I'd never stayed like, or knew anybody like that. I felt so loved that whole week that I was in her home. I decided I wanted to be like her. And this was maybe 92, somewhere around there, so I was pretty young. I want the people in my house, I wanted my people that were in my house to feel that loved. And so, or if anyone stayed in my home, that I was going to set out, like Patty Height just stayed with me. And I was like, oh, I can't wait to spoil Patty Height, you know, and have her wake up in the morning and have muffins or bacon and eggs or, what, you know, I did several different things. And, you know, it's sad. I don't remember that woman's name. She changed my life. She set my life on a course for the next 40 years because she set that example for me. Even any job, even the most prestigious job, can become hard labor if we have the wrong attitude. I remember watching a movie one time where everybody was jealous of Julia Roberts, I think it was, and she said, you know, I never am allowed to eat so that I can look like this. My job is not that great. Any job, even the most prestigious, can become hard labor if we have the wrong attitude. So keeping the Lord before us and seek ye first the kingdom of God and knowing that whatever I do with my hands, I do it for him. Number one, women are the heart of the home, and in 2026, they're being pulled in too many directions. When the heart is overstrained, it suffers, and when the heart suffers, everything connected to it feels the impact. I mean, thank God I wasn't raised in a generation where you had to go to the gym. You know, I already had so many things on my plate, Jesus being number one, you know. I remember my dentist one time says, Meef, you're not doing a very good job cleaning your teeth or whatever. And I said, but I read my Bible every day. Do you read your Bible every day? We have to have priorities. But there is so much pressure on you young moms right now. Going to the gym and looking like you're muscle bound or whatever. And then homeschooling your children, homeschooling them because our schools are so messed up. I mean, there's just so much. So I want you to do something with me. If you have a piece of paper, and I do this in my BCF class, you only have one plate, girls, one plate. I want you to take a piece of paper, and I want you to draw a circle on that piece of paper. And on that piece of paper, you get to divide up your plate however you want to divide it up. It's totally up to you. If you want to put half of your plate is the priority is working out at the gym, that's your business. Go right ahead. But you get to divide up that plate. And I encourage you to take a look at that plate and decide, will one third be for my family? Will one half, will three quarters be for my family? How will I divide up my plate? And I also encourage you with this. If you're thinking about putting something new on your plate, you have to take something off of it. If you just keep piling more and more and more on your plate, you're going to psychologically crack up. You're going to drop your plate. So I just wanted to give you that little caveat that you only have one plate. Be intentional about how you divide up your plate. Being an excellent woman begins with having and maintaining the right priorities when everything and everybody is pulling on you. We gave you a great priority example on page 69 of your homework. Number one, nourishing a vital relationship with Jesus. Number two, meeting the needs of your husband. Number three, nurturing your children. And number four, keeping a home. And then number five is adding whatever else time and energy permits, like being a room mom or being a Sunday school teacher or whatever you might want to do. But make sure the other four are in their proper order before you try and do the room mom thing. This wise woman knows she only has so much energy, and she's determined not to be lazy, but to use it where she will receive the greatest return. And at the end of the day, girls, the greatest return comes from your family. Right now, at 69 years old, the greatest thing I have, apart from Christ, is my husband and my children and my relationships with them. She's not frivolous with her time. She's not soft. She's a strong, hardworking woman that takes care of herself and her family. So number one, an excellent woman has great worth and value. Number two, an excellent woman is hardworking, not soft. Number three is her character. She extends her hand to the poor, verses 20 through 27. She extends her hand to the poor, and she stretches out her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies belts to the tradesmen. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. So she has like a cottage industry, and I know some of you guys have that too. Maybe she's selling her sourdough. We are not told who she was. We don't even know her name, you know, but what she does. And this woman of strength comes alive as we read these verses. She does not concern herself with things that don't matter. She elevates herself by giving herself to nobler work. She's working on her character. She's becoming a stronger Christian, godly woman, servant for the Lord, caring for the poor and needy. She has the power of true character and focus, and it is expressed in the fact that she is able to smile at the future. The reason she, you know, life's hard, right? Can I get an amen? Is life hard? Yeah, I mean, you can do everything right and somebody crashes in. I got T-boned once. I was finally had a car that could run. And I got T-boned. She knows her life is right with God, and her fear of the Lord invites God's blessing. She knows she's right with God. Now, in the world, you will have tribulation, Jesus said, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. But she knows her life is right with God. And her fear of the Lord invites God's blessing into her life. Women who are not right with God live in fear, worry, and insecurity. She has no time for that. She maintains a right relationship with God. Her family is clothed in scarlet, it says. This describes a thick garment worn in warm weather. And her husband is known in the gates. The gates in ancient cities were not just entrances. They were the center of public life. Business deals were made there. Legal cases were decided. And community leaders gathered there. This signifies that her husband was not just present. He's known. He's well known in the community. He has a reputation for wisdom and integrity and is esteemed in the community. This woman's diligence, wisdom, and management of her home create great stability for her man. Because his home is in order, he is free to serve and lead in the community. Because his family is right, his home is in order. Proverbs 12:4 says, an excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who shames him is like rottenness in his bones. In biblical times, the crown represents honor, dignity, and visible blessing to everyone. If someone was wearing a crown, it just brings a visible blessing. Just as a crown sits on the king's head for all to see, a wife's character reflects her husband. Her wisdom, her strength, and her integrity elevate his reputation. This morning, I was trying to figure out what to wear. And let me just tell you, I've been doing this for a very long time. I love studying the Bible. I love preparing messages. I hate figuring this out. I'm standing there, pulling out a shirt, pulling out pants, pulling out a skirt, pulling out a dress, pulling out. And Gary walked in, and he goes, "What are you doing?" And I was like, "It's my last time. It's my last time teaching. I have to look normal, you know." And he stopped me, and he put his hands on my shoulders. He said, "Mif, I am so proud of you." And I was about ready to cry, because I knew who I used to be. And could be still if I didn't follow Jesus real hard. So her wisdom, her strength, and her integrity elevate his reputation. She is not a burden, but a crown. Something treasured, a delight, and something deeply valued and cherished. Her presence adds wisdom, beauty, and strength to his life. And her character is revealed through her words. This woman is discreet. She doesn't speak carelessly or impulsively. She uses an economy of words to say what she has to say. And those words bring clarity, guidance, and good judgment into the arena. Her words are filled with kindness, not gossip and judgment. She does not eat the bread of idleness, it says. An excellent woman is watchful and engaged. She pays attention to what's happening under her care. Nothing important slips by unnoticed with her children. She's paying attention to what's going on in their souls. She chooses purpose over complacency. She's present and knows what's going on in her home, and intentional. About what she allows in her home, because her children are listening and they're watching. So number one, an excellent wife has great worth and value. Number two, an excellent woman is hardworking. Number three, an excellent woman is a woman of character. And finally, number four, her praise. Let's read 28 through 31. It says, her children rise up and bless her, her husband also. And he praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. Now we come to the climax of the chapter. It shows us that recognition and honor that naturally flow from a woman who lives a virtuous life. It's the gossip that's spread around about her. It's good gossip. A woman like this will rightfully receive God's blessing and be bragged about. Her kids are going to be bragging about her. Her friends will brag about her. Her husband will brag about her. It's the natural fruit from a life well lived, and fruit never lies. And that's why I think it says charm is deceitful and beauty is vain. You can deceive people with your charm and you can deceive people with your beauty, but you'll never deceive anyone with the fruit of your life. Her children rise up and bless her. Every single home in this room can have the best wife and mother. Every single home in this room, it would be interesting to see how many homes are represented here, can have the very best wife and mother. There's not just one. There can be hundreds of them, thousands of them. If we choose to be an excellent woman, you will become the female hero of your family. In 2026, I know many kids who wish they could honor their parents, like the Bible says. I know many, and I say kids, that's under 40. I know many kids who wish they could honor their parents like the Bible says. Many just wish they had had a parent who was there for them. And that's the generation in this church now that you see the little people running around. Some of those adult parents have not been parented. And so we as the older people in the church can love on them and support them, encourage them, pick them up when they fall down. I'm talking about the parents, not the kids. If they're struggling, we can come pray alongside of them, pray with them, encourage them to keep going. The breakdown of the family unit is creating a devastating blow to our society. Children are growing up way too fast without the proper love and training that childhood should bring. And the emotional and social effect is devastating. When a child is not properly loved, they grow up angry before they even know what the word means. They're angry. And then they have to try for the rest of their life, figure out what to do with the anger that's in their soul. And unfortunately, they get sent to worldly therapists to try and untie the knots in their soul. I thought one time, if I could make a bumper sticker, this is what it would say. Everybody wishes they had a great mom that was nurturing and loving and kind and a servant, but few are willing to be that kind of mom. I challenge you, be her. Love your kids, love your husband, love your family, even if none of your friends are doing it. Even if it's really, really unpopular. Because what you sow, you grow. Be that kind of mom. Let's change our world. It takes dying to self and living for something way bigger. Kind of like what Jesus did for us. He gave his life away because he loved us. Her husband praises her. This indicates that he not only notices how hard she works, but honors it and publicly acknowledges her value. Many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord will be praised. Give her the product of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. I've seen beautiful women think that that's all they need, manipulating men through their lives. But charm is definitely deceitful and beauty is vain. They're not something you want to bank on for the long run. They are temporary and can impress for a moment, but are not reliable. A beautiful face can mask a wicked heart. Tell your sons that. At the end of the day, respect, admiration, and blessing from those who are closest to you is what your soul longs for. That is the fruit of a life well lived. This chapter paints a picture of a woman of quiet, powerful influence. She lives for an audience of one. Everything, the way she thinks, the way she speaks, the way she acts, she does it in the presence of God. That her goal in life is to please him above all. The praise from her family was the most meaningful because they were the ones who had observed her in every situation and truly knew her character. So it meant the world coming from them, just like what Gary said to me this morning. She is not about self-fulfillment or self-indulgence. Through tremendous sacrifice, she shapes her family, uplifts her husband, and leaves a legacy of godliness in her wake. Her tender example, her wise counsel, her holy example, her hard work, her unselfish giving, these things fill the memories of her children. And that is how righteousness is passed from one generation to the next. May we become this kind of women, the kind that our families brag about. Amen? Lord, I thank you for this morning. Thank you, Lord, that you gave us this beautiful example. I thank you so much, Jesus. I was so lost. I didn't have a clue how to love Gary or to raise kids. But your word is all we need. We've been given everything we need for life and godliness through the knowledge of you. As we read your word, as we study your word, as we behold you, Lord, we become like you. Thank you so much for the word of God, that we're not left here to fend for ourselves and fight our way through, but you've given us the truth. And if we shoot for the moon, we might hit a star. We praise you, we worship you, we thank you, God, for the truth of the Bible. In Jesus' name, amen.